This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
43 years ago, a group of single mothers in an East Vancouver housing project carried out one of the most iconic and successful feats of direct action in Vancouver history. They stood together to protect their children, who had to cross a set of active railroad tracks to get to school on the other side. On Thursday, a musical play titled The Raymer Mothers, They Wouldn't Take No for an Answer, opened at the Russian Hall as part of the Heart of the City Festival. The play was created and staged by Theatre in the Raw, the same company who created Bruce, the musical, and Yippies in Love. The show runs until November 9th as part of the Heart of the City Festival, and I'm joined by the play's director, Jay Hamburger. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great.
Now, this play is based on real events that transpired just blocks from the Russian Hall, where you're presenting the musical. What happened at Raymer in 1971?
Well, what happened is a group of women were single mothers, and they were in the new, at that point it was a pretty new project, complex. And they were all single moms, no men really allowed, partly because they didn't, you know, there was a possibility that women might be bringing in, doing tricks. So it was pretty strict. You know, that's alluded to in the play. But, you know, they were sending their kids to school across tracks, railroad tracks, which was quite active. There were two railroad tracks at the time. There's only one now. But that was one of the main railroad thoroughfares from the port into, you know, wherever, the interior. So they were looking out the window, and they were seeing their kids crossing the tracks with no guardrail, no flag person, even though they had asked for this to happen. And the city and the railroad stalled and stalled and stalled. I mean, really was, you know, you person, you take care of this, you take care of that. But nothing was done. And I think they really hit the roof when, you know, the kids were playing around the trains. And the trains were supposed to not run during certain periods of time. And they were running anyway. And they just banded together. They banded together and decided to, they had had enough. They wouldn't take no for an answer. And they set up a tent on the tracks, and they demonstrated. They blockaded the train. And, of course, this got everybody upset because you're dealing with commerce and, you know, somebody's got money on the line, finds a group of single moms down on the tracks trying to save their kids from being killed or losing a leg. And this got the ire both of the city and of the railroad, especially the railroad.
Now, some of the activists are actually well known in the city. Were the characters in the story based one to one on specific women?
I think so. I think so. I mean, Bob is a, you know, like any playwright or any artist, and having dealt with this kind of work, you know, for many, many years, you do have to let artistic license and not follow it absolutely to the letter. But Bob has done a pretty good job. He's an old reporter for the Vancouver Sun, and he's done a pretty good job setting forth the facts. Whether there was a relationship between a single mom and a guy like the character Richie, who has had enough with regular work and is involved in gambling and at the racetracks and you know, ungloriously asks, you know, this single mom for more and more money so that he can do his deals. Whether or not that's, you know, absolute verbatim is questionable. I didn't question it because we really needed a story in there. But the real story was that the women discussed and worked it out that they had had enough and that they were going to go down on the tracks. But Bob's partner is Mugs Sigerton, who's quite a figure, or was a figure, in the downtown East Side. She was at one point the chair of the Carnegie Community Center. And she was actually on the tracks with a woman named Carolyn Jerome. And the two of them, actually then, when they were single moms, they lived together. And a lot of Muggs' story is in there. I mean, there is some anger towards men, I would say, and the fact that women are seen as being at a disadvantage, and that men can be very fly by night.
There's this wonderful song, if you find him in the bar, leave him in the bar.
That's one of them. That's one of the songs. The other one that I just love is "There's Gotta Be More." She sings to Richie, there's just gotta be more than you coming by and just having sex and asking me for money and then leaving.
there's really some wonderful voices in the cast and some incredible choreography. How did you and Bill Sample, the composer, and Bob Sardi, the playwright, collaborate together to create this play?
Well, I've been working with Bob. I mean, this started in about 2002, 2003. So this has been going on now for 11 to 12 years. And the very first play was from the Carnegie Community Center radio play project that I handled was The Raymer Mothers. And it was done for the 100th anniversary of the saving of the building, the Carnegie Community Center. The very first play was a three-act play. And it was the Raymer Mothers, and guess where it was broadcast? It's broadcast over the Arts Rational at Co-op Radio. And Earl Peach originally did the music. But the collaboration, I've been working with Bill now for almost as long, at least 10 to 12 years. And I introduced Bob to Bill, and things just worked out hand in glove. Anna was in the big production of Bruce the Musical, which actually played at the Russian Hall, and that was about Bruce Erickson. And she was just an actress in it, and we cast her. And she is just a remarkable choreographer and dancer. And she kept calling me when we were starting to put together the cast and designers. And, you know, I talked to her and one other, and I had worked with Anna before, and it was just the right fit. And she also worked with Bill. Bill is probably, in my opinion, one of the most remarkable composers now living in Vancouver. Somewhat unsung in the sense that his work is absolutely marvelous. It's just absolutely marvelous. I mean, I've worked with a number of musicians and composers, and Bill's work is up there, but, you know, it's just hard getting that kind of, for some reason, it's hard getting, you know, this kind of stuff out there because it's got a historical kind of activist nature to it, and a lot of people shy away from that.
I mean, I said that before, and I'll say it again. The songs and the choreography were wonderful, and I am not someone who considers myself to be a fan of musicals as a form, but I really thought that the way that it was all integrated into the story was really terrific. There is actually a lot more in the story than the simple story that you outlined. There's a lot of insight into the women's lives as they worked at Raymer.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's 1971. Woodward's, the building Woodward's, and the food, the wonderful food mart is still around during that time. Ray Cam is whether Ray Cam was built yet, I don't know, but Bob got in that wouldn't it be wonderful to have a food co-op where you could afford to buy the food. And eventually what happened is Ray Cam Cooperative Complex came about. I think it really came about partly because of the women's action and their activism to band together and say, you know, enough is enough here. Just because we're poor doesn't mean we needed to be treated lousily. And I hate to say it, if anybody goes to see the overpass, which they eventually did build, it's caged, And my brother works in prison doing theater in New York City, around New York Sing Sing. And this looks like something out of a prison, a prison walkway. You know, so you wonder what, you know, how the East Side over the years has been treated, and the representation has been, you know, less than adequate at times.
What do you hope that people will take away from the play?
I really hope that people take away from the play that small voice inside that says, you know, this is unfair. This is not right. And the powers that be are not listening to us. And we've got to do something if it can be peaceful and nonviolent, bravo. But if it means putting your body in front of a train or putting your body in front of a logging truck or putting your body up on Burnaby Mountain in front of, I mean, I have, you know, strong opinions about Kinder Morgan, you know, in a public park, then you need to do it so that you, in good conscience, you felt you made a contribution to society, even though society may not agree with what you're doing.
Well, one of the things I liked about the characterization of the play is that the mothers were not all, they didn't all start as political activists. There's the central character actually is somebody who doesn't even speak up for herself, let alone take the kind of, she's not a direct action kind of gal.
No. And I think if there's some brilliance to this piece, it's that after workshops and going over the script and, you know, 14 drafts, he really got that one right. He gave this character who starts off very timid and just, you know, in a sort of a sexual relationship that's sort of, you know, very, very, based on sex, that the other women really get her active and get her thinking about other things. And she has an arc, what we call an arc for a part. And she goes from really not wanting even to sign a petition to ending up standing on the tracks taking action.
Well, it's a great play, and I really recommend people go and see it. And thank you so much for talking to me this morning, Jay.
Well, Jane, you're very generous. I thank you, and apologies for being late.
Well, we got you in the end.
Yeah, I was putting a porta potty in at the Roshan Hall, so.
Well, now we know you have one.
Okay,
thanks, Jay.
Thanks.
I've been speaking with Jay Hamburger of Theatre in the Raw. The play that we've been talking about, Raymer Mothers, They Wouldn't Take No for an Answer, runs until November 9th as part of the Heart of the City Festival. And you can buy advance tickets at theatreintheraw.ca. You can also find historical footage of the Raymer Mothers at blackstrathcona.com. That's a project of oral history in the Strathcona area. Blackstrathcona.com. Click on number 6 on the map, and you will be able to see a video about the Raymer Mothers.